You're listening to Pop Culture Fanatics, a podcast for the crazy fan in you.
Who's been messing up everything?
It's been Agatha all along.
Who's been pulling every evil string?
It's been Agatha all along.
She's insidious.
So
welcome one and all to Pop Culture Fanatics. It is I, Stephen Strange, your host with the most, alongside me with my creepy duo from the Dark Dimension. This is Brother Voodoo himself, Jay Rance. How you doing, brother?
I'm good. I'm chilling. I don't know if I should make an accent or something, but yeah, I'm good, man.
Whatever you need to do in the Dark Dimension. And of course, speaking about Dark, the King of Demons, the Mother of Miracles, the Morning Star himself, Mephisto. Jacob, how you doing?
The wheeze! The wheeze!
Glad to meet your acquaintance. Welcome, everybody, to Pop Culture Fanatics. This is episode 2. If you power through that, you're the best. Like I said, alongside me are my co-hosts, as always, Mr. Jay Rance, and of course, Jake. Guys, thank you for that.
I gotta catch my breath on that one. I got it. Woo. I can talk now.
I'm mad I couldn't get the door knob and fucking, you know, shout out. Like, damn, shout out to Brother Voodoo.
Please, you leave Brother Voodoo alone. And why are we mentioning all this? Well, a little bit of news came out of WandaVision. And of course, we're going to be talking about that today. That's going to be one of our main topics today on Pop Culture Fanatics, as well as the news for this week. Jake, I know you're not 100% on WandaVision. We'll get to it. We'll get there eventually. But before we do that, guys, how are you guys? How has this week been treating you?
I guess I'll roll. I'm good, man. I'm chilling. Week has been treating me good, actually. Been enjoying some WandaVision, so I'm chilling, brother. How are you guys doing?
I'm doing pretty all right as well. I jumped on the random ship and started watching Walking Dead all the way from the beginning out of nowhere. And I've literally been powering through that like all day, like even while I'm working, it just plays in the background. And I'm already like on like season 6 or something. I can't even. And this is within just the
what
last
made,
week.
I think
what made you jump into that? Like.
You know, because they're on their last leg, man. They're on their final season, right? And it's kind of like bittersweet because it's been on for so long. But I remember being there on day one when the show first aired, and I was just taken away. I was like, bro, this is gonna be amazing. Like, this is what TV's been missing. And as much shit can be talked about just how the direction of the show went, there's been some amazing writing on here, and I kind of wanted to revisit that. And these last couple of seasons, I know I didn't watch. I want to say probably like the last 2 or 3 seasons, I didn't watch them. So I wanted to go back and see, did it really get that bad? Or are you just kind of just saturated of it when you're just keeping up with it for so long? You know, I feel like some shows get better with age, or after it's been a while and you go back and revisit them, you know, maybe you miss a lot of things, or you know, you kind of revisit and you're like, oh man, I forgot how good this was. And so far it's been like that for me.
Okay. I mean, I know me and Jay, we started that from day one as well too, and I think we were pretty hooked. I want to say the first 2 seasons. You know, look at the flowers. She was in the shed. But I think just the repetitive storytelling, and I think the lack of stakes. And I feel like, yes, people are going to say, oh, people die all the time, but that really isn't it. I think the lack of stakes in The Walking Dead really had me. I felt like it was the same story being told up until Negan. And even with Negan, I felt like that was, just to catch everybody's eye for a second, it's totally different than the comic books. But the portrayal of Negan's fantastic, but I just think anything afterwards just didn't live up to expectations. The fact that you're powering through it right now, rock and roll to you. Like, I couldn't do it again. I was thinking about it like a year ago when I was like, no, I can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. No, I get that. I get that. But just to kind of rebuttal on that, I think I see the stakes and to see what exactly the writers are trying to get at. I know people like Greg Nicotero and like some of the other people were trying to like up the gore and up the darkness, but I felt like there was still that that kind of reach into, you know, the humanity aspect of it, where a lot of the back and forth goes between, you know, how brutal do we need to be, and, you know, how much of people should we continue to give a chance. And I think that that's, I mean, it may seem repetitive, but the thing is as this kind of culture continues to live out, right? I mean, that's gonna happen. You're gonna stuff starts to run out, and people who don't know how to sustain life, they start to go crazy. So you're gonna consistently run into these people, and at some point, you know, you're gonna have that battle. It's like, okay, well, should life continue to live, and should we allow that, or should we just only worry about ourselves? And I don't know. I think that because of each personality that they built with the main characters, I think it's been a very, very perfect balance of that. Yeah, there are some parts of it that are slow. There are some parts of it that are very repetitive. But I think for the most part, like season four, by far, has the best writing. And the last half of that season, I've said it before and I'll say it again, the last half of that season was probably the best written in that show ever, besides season two. Season two with the whole Shane and Rick thing was just brilliant. But everything that happened afterwards was just on season four, after they left the prison with everybody just kind of on their own. That little storytelling right there was some of the most beautiful acting and most beautiful writing I've ever seen in the show.
You know, I'll respect your opinion on that one. There's nothing wrong with that whatsoever. It's just, for me personally, if you're going to have a show that deals with the duality of who is the monster, the zombie, or the human, there has to be an eventual end game or something to look forward to, like the light at the end of the tunnel. And I think they wrote themselves in a hole doing the same arcs, just with different scenarios or different areas.
I get that.
I think another thing too is just the heart of it was missing. Once they killed off Herschel, the heart of the show left. There really wasn't a heart of the show besides maybe Glenn, and then you offed him too. So, you know, in spectacular fashion, Pumpkinhead and everything. But, you know, I love
Bro,
that.
I literally, that. Like, it's pause.
Maggie!
Pause with fucking Glenn's eye just popped out on the screen. I wish I could show a screenshot, but that's exactly where it's paused at. Maggie, I'm coming back for you. What did he say? I'll wait for you.
Oh. But,
leave him alone. It's so sad.
I think people gravitate to the heart of the show, and when you have people that are the heart, or maybe could be the heart, or that maternal or paternal figure, and you make them to like badasses like Carol for some reason, like it kind of takes something away. You need some kind of heart with these shows, and I feel like The Walking Dead has missed that though. But I appreciate you tackling that, brother.
We are having a debate now.
So what's your week been like?
I've been deep diving into Middle Earth. I know I was talking to Jay about this hardcore for the last 2 weeks. I recently just bought a D&D Essentials kit. I'd never played D&D like that in my life. I've always wanted to, and I did it really for the kids because I wanted to maybe escape with them a little bit, take them off of video games and do something tabletop-ish, and, you know, just make pretend again. I think that's missing. That's art missing these days. And of course they're not interested.
Well,
go ahead.
I mean, there's, I mean, but there's different tabletop games. Like, the ones that I've always been curious about are the Resident Evil games, or like the zombie survival ones. Those look like they would be pretty fun. I'd imagine you would tackle it just like you would tackle like a D&D kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Jay saw one that was a Fallout based one as well too.
Nice.
I think there's different variations of the game as well too. I guess I just want to start.
Never played a Fallout game.
We'll talk about it in a second, Jake. Like, we're gonna shame you in a second. Shame. But that's what the kids are doing to me right now. They're just basically shaming me with this right now because it's too much world building. It's too much character creation. And I guess they'd rather have,
it really is, bro.
You know, have someone to work with and just play the game from there. But me, myself, I'm enjoying just deep diving into it. Just I made my own character. I've been deep diving into, like, Tolkien. I've been watching Lord of the Ring movies. I've been watching, I fell asleep to The Hobbit the other day as well, too, just to get my dwarfism on right there. I was like, I need to know exactly what dwarfs do. We're going to deep dive into this right now. I've been on my Middle of Earth binge right now. I've been having a good time with that. Yeah, that's really about me. Nothing really crazy. Just work in Middle Earth.
Just work in Middle Earth.
Sounds like a good life, right? All right. Let's break it down for the news of the week right here. Does anybody want to start off a topic? All right, I'll throw one down right now. Let's talk about the one that everybody's been having fun with this week from Sunday to now. Let's talk about the Spider-Man reveal for its name. Guys, how do you feel about Spider-Man 3's new name right now?
I don't see why anyone would have a problem with it, to be honest. I mean, I guess they're sticking on that on that theme there, which is I honestly don't see a problem with it, to be honest. And maybe if there is no connection from the story to the title, then yeah, I could get it. But right now, like, it's interesting because it's giving me a kind of unknown scenario, or like a it's gonna leave Peter Parker in a bind where it's gonna seem like there's I almost said it, but no way home. But I guess. But do you see where I'm going with that? Like, it's there's going to be quite a dilemma, and I feel like there's going to be a lot of feels in it.
Okay, all right. What about you, Jay? I know you said that it has a lot to do with the end scenario from Far From Home.
Walk I don't know because just how he got outed with Far From Home at the end by Mysterio, so it kind of plays into that, like, you know, No Way Home, like, I can't get back to who I am, to who I was, to the relatives and family that I love, kind of on the run type of feel. And it also kind of, I feel that plays in a way with Multiverse of Madness, who we're getting with Doctor Strange and WandaVision, because you really, all these realities are just being mixed up. So I think that's the feels that I get from it. But they could probably be sticking to, like Jake said, you know, you got Homecoming, Far Away From Home, and Far From Home, and then this. So those are the vibes I got. How do you feel about it, though?
I'm back and forth on it. I definitely see what they're trying to do with the home. They're using that as part of their marketing. And kudos for them. They're just trying to stick with that theme. A little confused because I could definitely see your point when it comes to the Jonah Jameson situation where he outed Peter Parker. So I'm like, well, yeah, that makes sense. But now that I feel like we're so far from that now. From that scene, from that end credit scene, to where we are now with all the rumors, with different dimensions, with Doctor Strange and realities, and then of course WandaVision, and how supposedly WandaVision and Spider-Man 3, and then of course Doctor Strange, are all syncing together in some sort of way. The reveals that we're hearing about all three Spider-Men in one movie as well too has been there. So I just don't know. I don't know how that end credit scene with JJ outing Peter Parker is even relevant anymore when we are looking at a possible movie with three Peter Parkers.
I don't know. I don't know if Jake was gonna take it. I mean, but that movie just seems so super convoluted with all the people that are dropping and stuff like that. So I didn't even really look at that, aspect with the whole Spider-Verse. So, I mean, oof. I don't know. How do you feel about that, Jake? Because I didn't even look at it that way. I was just stuck on the more Far From Home outing.
I mean, here's the thing. As long as it works, like I'm okay with it. So the thing is, I'm only understanding a fraction of this because I haven't seen WandaVision yet, and because I'm like so out of the loop with that conversation that people are having. I mean, I know I see people post about it, but I still don't know what the fuck they're talking about. You know what I mean? There's no context for me to, you know, include in that. So I don't know what's going on, but I know that, what was the Spider-Man movie that came out? The animated one. Yeah. Into the Spider-Verse. Yeah. Into the Spider-Verse. I know that made such a splash. Like people everybody was rolling about that movie. That movie got like so much conversation online, and, a part of me felt like if they were going to do like the live action, you know, Spider-Verse with all the Peter Parkers that we knew, I felt like part of it was just because of that, that demand from the community. And I feel like they could make it work. And as long as it worked, I have no problem with it. As long as it makes sense and it's something good and it's not just something there to give us breadcrumbs and like, oh, you know, here's your
step. No, go ahead, bro. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, now that you threw it into that aspect with the three Spider-Mans, it kind of makes me think, and especially with the last episode of WandaVision, where you saw, I mean, I really don't want to spoil much for Jake, but where you saw Photon, Monica Rambeau going through all these alternate realities, because what's going on is warping reality. So we got the Spider-Verse, we got the three Spider-Mans, you know, reality is always being warped in MCU, because they just said that Captain America actually lived out in an alternate timeline with Peggy Carter. So it has to stick with that, with like, you know, for what's the title again? I totally forgot. No Way Home. Yeah, so it has to play something with that, with the realities that we're getting from WandaVision that's supposed to kickstart the MCU verse again.
You know, I don't like it. No. I don't, and I'll tell you why.
Of course.
I haven't really appreciated any of these Spider-Man movies.
Really?
And for one reason and one reason alone, I love Tom Holland as Spider-Man. I do. I love the little changes they've been making to Aunt May, not Aunt May,
versatile May.
Every day.
Yes.
You know, but they're not Spider-Man movies. They're not Peter Parker movies. They're Avenger movies, or Avenger 2.0 movies, or Marvel Cinematic Movies 2.0. Like, anything that has to do with Peter Parker is a fallout between Tony Stark or the Avengers or something to do with that. And I feel like the heart of Spider-Man really resides when he's just the dude in Queens trying to make New York good. And I thought by the end of Far From Home, with, you know, Jameson with the outing and whatnot, I was like, cool, this is going to be a very central Spider-Man story. We have the MJ character, we have the love interest, he's swinging around Times Square. It felt good to see Spider-Man swing around Times Square. You know, we didn't get that. We didn't get that in Homecoming. And we didn't get that in Far From Home. We got that toward the end. And just to see that familiarity of seeing Peter Parker, Spider-Man swing through New York, that hits home to me. Spider-Man hits home as that character. And now that I'm hearing three different Spider-Mans, Dimensions, Doctor Strange influence, maybe WandaVision influence, I'm like, you're just convoluting this all over again. Sometimes Spider-Man is just simple and simple stories. That's why he's always resonated with people, because he's the everyday guy that gets a little power and tries to help a little bit around New York.
No, go ahead,
Jay. Go ahead, Jay. Okay. So I was going to say, I mean, I get that. I really do. But when it comes to how the Spider-Man movies have been written and, you know, what they've involved, I know a part of that is politics regarding Marvel, Disney, and, you know, all the stuff that's in between into that. I know that that plays a part of it, and it sucks. It's very unfortunate. But at the same time, what I've noticed about this Peter Parker, and again, this is specifically speaking about this Peter mm-hmm. Parker portrayed by Tom Holland, is that he's very, very much childlike, but at the same time, he has this goal or this dream or this opportunity that's been dangled in front of him, and that's what he wants and that's what he seeks. And so I think that's why a lot of that is so much involved, or a lot of that is centralized, because that's what he wants to be a part of. Ultimately, I mean, yes, you know, he wants to do his thing for the city, but he wants to do it to prove that he can be like one of the top dogs in the Avengers, or somebody that's able to do something much, much more. And I've always got that with this Peter Parker character from the beginning, and I love it. I truly, honestly do, because a lot of people do want that. A lot of people do overstep themselves because they think that, you know, that they're good enough to achieve this goal already without having to go through that learning process. I still think that it is a very natural character that people can align with.
Go ahead, Jay. I mean, the fact that you kind of said that they're not Spider-Man movies is just kind of like meh, because I feel that if you look at it, they're all Spider-Man movies in the sense of he's trying to find himself, like Jake said, from Homecoming to having that amazing experience with the Avengers to wanting to be an Avenger, wanting more, as Jake said, to returning back home, trying to find his normal daily routine, and with everything that's happened, trying to get back to being a high schooler, to then Far From Home, kind of just seeing him hit his little, you know, pubescent swing moves and stuff with MJ, and then kind of sitting here saying, oh, I'm not good enough, I don't want this pressure, I just want to be a kid, you know. But then again, he still wants to be an Avenger, but he doesn't want none of that. So you see the maturity, you see all the stuff and the confliction that he's having. So also, he said one of the best lines in I think it was Infinity War. Yeah, Spider-Man is Queens. Spider-Man is Queens, is it? I forget the place. Yeah, Queens, yep, New Queens. York. I got confused with the cap line. Brooklyn. Yeah, he is New York. He is New York. But like he said in Avengers, he said, I can't be the friendly neighborhood spider, and there's no New York to save if I'm not out here doing this with you. So, you know, he kind of has to leave that. And we see in this multiverse and Spider-Verse, there's more threats than just, you know, New York. So,
I mean, yeah, man, like, I guess if you're writing him in that kind of sense, I see that. But here's the thing, though. We get that. All right. If we have to look at this from a viewer's point of view, we get this Peter Parker as an adult in the comics. Like, he is... been through it all in New York. He has fought the Lizard. He's fought Kraven the Hunter. He's fought the Chameleon. He's fought the Rhino and stuff like that. He has saved New York countless times to the point where he leveled his game to get to an Avengers level. You know, now in the comics, it's acceptable to see him as an Avenger in a way. But we didn't get to see that throughout the movies. We got from point A to point B very fast. We got, hey, here's a new suit. Now you're fighting Captain America. Oh, here's a new suit. Now you're fighting Thanos' army. You know, now you're fighting a rage-induced Mysterio who was pissed off because of Tony Stark. The Vulture is pissed off because of Tony Stark. There is nobody that's really connected to Peter. And the only way that Michael Keaton was connected to Peter is because Peter wants, you know, get friendly with his daughter. That's really about it. But, like, if you look at it, there's no connection to these villains personally to Peter. And then
mm-hmm. we still got Scorpion.
Scorpion still, you know, was part of that wrecking crew because of the Avengers. Like, Peter does not have a central foe in these movies, and you took away the one thing that makes Peter Peter, which is Uncle Ben. And you replace him with Tony Stark. Now that you don't have Tony Stark, you have Happy, and that's cool. But Uncle Ben was that one piece for Peter that we could all relate to. We can't all relate to a Tony Stark. I'm sorry. As much as we can, we would love to. We love cheeseburgers, but we can't relate to a Tony Stark. And you don't have even his best friends or his father figure like a Harry Osborn or Norman Osborn to fill in that gap either. I feel like we're three movies in right now and we still haven't had a Peter Parker or at least a Spider-Man central story that has nothing to do with the Avengers at all.
I mean, that's all fine and dandy, but at what point do you get tired of seeing a Green Goblin? At what time do you get tired of seeing a Norman Osborn? Like you said it, you know, you have to kind of up and change the ends in a way.
I think this is a different take, a different version of it, and I mean I like it. I mean, because we could always, if we wanted that, we could always go back to the other movies, whether you think they're good or not. I mean, they're there, the opportunity's there. And also a reminder that this is Tom Holland's last contract, for the Spider-Man character. So there's always something that could come down the pipeline.
Maybe. But Sony has been fixated on making that Sinister Six movie as well.
It has to happen. It has to happen. That definitely has to happen. So my thing is, I'm actually pissed off that you're bringing back Toby and I was going to say Garfunkel. What's my man's name? Andrew Garfield? You're going to bring all this back because I feel that you're kind of catering to Twitter and to the community, because Tom Holland gets a lot of slag and a lot of crap thrown at him for being, to me, probably the best Spider-Man. So I don't know, man. I don't know. Like, I enjoy these movies, honestly. As much as I love the Toby, and we grew up on the Toby, and I remember going to the theaters for the Toby movies and stuff, but once I saw Tom Holland, I was like, okay, this is what Spider-Man is. This is the embodiment, even the voice, even the little dweeby aspect and the geekiness. So to me, that's why I'm enjoying these movie more. I know you, because we had that talk a while ago, you think Spider-Man, you think New York. Maybe that's why you kind of can't get out of that mindset. Because I remember you told me a little while back, like, that's what, you love that little thin line that you could just slide a sheet of paper in it and New York could just crumble at any moment, but Spider-Man is in between there to save it. I think that's why you can't get past, like, for the homecoming and stuff like that, maybe.
Well, maybe not just that too, but I feel like we haven't told that story yet, or we haven't seen those stories yet for him to be that person for New York. I feel like he's just been an Avenger since we've seen him. And it's tough because it's like, all right, you trial by fire. And I get it. I totally get it. But maybe I just wanted Peter to grow up in the way that, I guess, to learn a little bit more from experiences instead of going through these ultra traumatic experiences, to maybe just step by step get there as well too. And you see that from Far From Home and whatnot. But I'm excited. I'm excited to see what they pull off for this next movie. I would be sad if he doesn't sign on for another movie or two as Spider-Man, but hey, the kid is getting older. It's kind of hard to keep that kid in high school knowing that he's like 26, 27 right now.
Come on. Fucking...
We can't pull up Tobey Maguire.
Send him to college. Yeah, there you go, bro. Simple. Look at what they did with Saved by the Bell.
College
years.
Since we're still in the Marvel universe in a way, let's talk about this. Came out, and it's a little bit of a sleeper in my opinion. People are sleeping on this subject, but Big Hero 6 possibly entering the Marvel universe. Now, there has been a Big Hero 6 in the Marvel universe before, but the specific characters from the Disney Pixar movie coming into the Marvel universe, almost like a Runaways aspect. How do you guys feel about that? Gee, I'm gonna throw it to you first.
Oh, I'm all for the Big Hero 6. Big Hero 6 is actually one of my favorite Disney movies. I love it. It's, for a lot of people that may not know, it's comic book inspired as well. So that's why, it's a part of the MCU. And we have seen little caveats. What movie was it? Where you see the Tadashi, I keep forgetting, and the Friday. Was it Age of Ultron? I don't remember one, but we saw a little Easter egg like that. So I'm all for it, man. Like, I'm super excited. I love me some Baymax. I'm a geek when it comes to Baymax. I, as much as I enjoy the animated film, I would like to see how they do this in the project they want to pursue right now. So I got nothing bad to say about this, bro.
Okay. How about you, Jake?
Oh, I'm all for it. Just like you, Jay, Big Hero 6 is one of my favorite Disney movies. Like, Baymax is my shit. And I'm actually like disappointed that, you know, the love for this movie wasn't very big. But if Facebook memes are correct, I think it's because it came out at around the same time as Frozen. So that was like the big reason for it. So it is what it is. You know, people are going to, you know, be attracted to what appeals to them, but just the idea of San Francisco, you know, just, you know, that concept, you know, and taking CPUs to the next level, you know, was just like, oh, fantastic. And it's just such a heartwarming film. So I think this is the one animated movie that I think could do very, very, very well live action. Because there's so much you can do with it, and there's so much realism to it that I think it would work. I think it could work, and I'm actually, honestly, very curious to see how it's played out, if it's played out.
No, it could kind of be for the younger age what Tony Stark and Jarvis and Ultron is all to us. You get what I'm saying? Like, they can relate to Tadashi, the 14-year-old. Baymax could be kind of like their little Iron Man, their Jarvis. It's a cool... yes.
Ba-la-la-la-la.
It's a cool way, you know, for the younger age to kind of experience the MCU toned out for them. But I'm going to be there watching it myself.
Exactly. And especially if they stick with, you know, that same kind of story. It's you know, the fact that... It's not a father figure, but you know that sibling figure, and you know that Baymax is what holds that memory of him. You know what I mean? So like, he's much more than just a CPU. I mean, he's a living, I almost said breathing, but memory of the little bit of family that he had left. You know. I think it needs to be done, and I hope it does, and I hope that people gravitate towards it.
You know, I love this movie, just like you guys. I couldn't express enough how much I love this movie. I think, Jake, that you make an excellent point that we all question why this movie wasn't as big as it should have been. And I even question that, you know, they make the same points in Frozen that they do in Big Hero 6 with that sibling love, you know, that sacrifice, that love, that heartbreak. It's all in both movies, you know, except one's a musical and one's not. But at the end of the day, I think it really falls down to, I'll be the one to say it, we still live in a culture where it's very taboo, and it's very, it's a toxic culture where... And I really feel when you look at a story, as much as we love it, I think we still live in an area where, you know, having that brother bond or crying or feeling hurt, it's still taboo for men to come out there and show these feelings. You can do that with Anna and Elsa because, you know, it's expected for a girl to feel that way in society. But for a guy, no, buttercup, toughen up, have a big chin, put on a big mean face and call it a day. Big Hero 6 is one of those movies that really exposes us to loss. And Pixar does a great job of all their movies when it comes to loss. But I think at that time, maybe right now if it came out, it would have been more accepted. But, you know, only a few years removed. But still, at that time, I don't think as a guy, as a teenager, or even as a man, people weren't accepting that still. But I think you both are right when it comes to this movie being anything. Whether it's in... a live action form, an animated form, even in the comic books, this needs to be taken care of delicately. I this is what I would like in a Spider-Man effect, where I wouldn't want this to be shoved into Avengers or like a big event. Like, I want these guys in their own pocket. Like, yeah, they could have their interactions with like a Kamala Khan, you know, with America Chavez and stuff like that, with Squirrel Girl. That'd be fantastic with the Runaways. I think they're there, and I love that aspect about them because they relate to that kind of demographic, that audience, that teenage angst. That's where they belong. But once you put them against, like, you know, with a Hulk or with an Iron Man, or let's say, because, you know, for sake of the Marvel Universe right now, like, let's say a Professor Hulk or even an Ant-Man, I wouldn't want that. I kind of want them, not low level, but enough of a level where we can still enjoy them. Does that make sense at all?
No, absolutely. And I don't know much about the comics themselves, but I know, you know, both of you do. But what I think it, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think what you're getting at too is that a lot of these characters that people don't know about should know about. I mean, everybody knows and everybody can, you know, everyone can basically picture themselves as Captain America or Hulk or anyone, right? But there's a lot of these other characters that come from stories that are more similar to us, or, you know, at our ages, more closer to us, or, you know, experience some kind of backdoor story that we, you know, that we've been through ourselves. And in the people that you surround yourself with, I mean, it's similar to how we choose our friends. You know, it's because we gravitate towards them. You know, all of us that share a similar story or a similar feeling or emotion, you know. I think a lot of these characters' stories need to be told. Something that I think is more down to earth than
I feel you. I don't want to say stay in your own lane, but yeah, if you want to get to that, make it a slow burn, because if you throw it into the fire that quick, it's just gonna get overshadowed. And this movie, it should just be enjoyed from every bro. Like, I don't know why, like you said, it didn't get that great reviews, but this is a phenomenal movie. And if you're going to make it live action or whatever it is, definitely give it a slow burn before introducing it to like a Avengers level type of, you know, stuff.
Yeah, man, put them in San Francisco. Hell, let them do their thing down there.
And Tokyo.
Well, let's just for
hey, San Francisco.
Reality's sake. Let's just put the
San Francisco. Tokyo is very much real, sir.
Okay. All right, San Fran, Tokyo, mm-hmm. with the neon lights everywhere. We can go ahead and do that.
Going to be destroyed in Kong versus Godzilla.
That's actually Hong Kong, sir. So, but yeah, yes, I know my Gojira. I mean, you can do that, but here's a good thing as well too. If you really want to play with Big Hero 6, especially on the West Coast, and just do a slow burn, there is an Avenger team out there that is very popular in the comics that people sleep on too, called the West Coast Avengers. And yeah, it's a dumb name, and yeah, it's a funny ass name, and it's a funny ass title, and whatnot. But hell, like, just having an alternate set of Avengers, like a Luke Cage, you know, having someone like a Jessica Jones in there, something nothing too crazy like an Iron Man or a Hulk, but, you know, hell, Hawkeye led the West Coast Avengers at one point. So you could do something like that, and just smaller threats, not super Avenger threats, but smaller threats that are taking over maybe the West Coast, and maybe having Big Hero 6 come in for the last
kind of be like your young that Avengers would be awesome. Out there in the West Coast. I like that idea.
Mm-hmm. All right. One more talking. Anybody wants to
throw a topic in? Like in the whole MCU and the Marvel verse. Today they dropped Who's Marvel MODOK, the trailer. Like, it's a show, you know, it's a show based on MODOK. Did you guys get to check it out or no? Like, if you like Robot Chicken, you will like what MODOK is about. So it comes out May 21st. Basically, it has that stop motion animation, very Robot Chicken like. That's what it is. And it has that humor, sarcastic, that dry humor, that failed attempt. Like, there's one part in the trailer where he says, "Do you know what MODOK stands for?" And then, you know, the last part is, you know, killing. And then he blows up a plane, and then you see like somebody parachute. Ah, I made it. And he just turns around, shoots him, like, I got him. And I mean, while it looks funny, they lost me. Because, I mean, how did you feel about the trailer before I say? Because I just really don't like that stop motion clay style and, you know, Robot Chicken.
So I love Robot Chicken. I love Seth Green. So, like, anything that he comes up with is gold, in my opinion. But see, here with Disney is this. I see what they're trying to do and capture that essence of Robot Chicken. I get that. But the thing is, like, if you're not going to go all the way, then you're going to run into walls, because you're going to do, like, innuendos of rated R stuff or PG-13 stuff, but you can't necessarily push the envelope that much. You, like with MODOK, you really can't push the envelope that much. You could probably zap somebody, and that's really about it. And the option is, like, hey, he might be dead, he may not be dead, but you can't push the envelope.
In the trailer they push it a tad bit, you know, because he turns around and zaps somebody's arm off, so you see the little blood just splatter and stuff. But I mean, yeah, I definitely get you where you can't go too overboard, because this is Disney. But you know, the show is basically based on MODOK. After a failed multitude of attempts of trying to take over the world and battling superhero, he's ran AIM down to the ground. AIM is bankrupt, and he's battling midlife crisis with his family, kind of like, you know, the Oblongs feel and stuff. So great. That is a great show. I mean, I don't know, like, I would have preferred, I don't want to sit here and say animated, because I feel like we're getting a lot of animated stuff from Disney lately, especially with the What If series. But nah, I mean, I'll tune in, but I can't do that. You should check it out, Jake, and let us know how you feel about it. It's weird. It's different.
I see Patton Oswalt voices MODOK, okay. So I'm happy about that already.
Well, you know, I think that it's very, very hard to put MODOK in any kind of situation where you're going to have fun with, and especially if it's a show revolving around MODOK. I mean, I wouldn't want to see that in a live action show, because somewhere down the line, the CGI is going to get messed up and the budget's going to get messed up, and I just don't want that. And I don't want to see that in an anime show, because like you said, we have a lot of anime shows right now. So why not do something as crazy as claymation? Why not? Like, that's an art style that, to me, I feel like is dead. And, you know, Tim...
No,
we need Wallace
stop
and Gromit.
It. No, bro. Corpse Bride is fantastic. Frankenweenie is great.
And the ambiance to it, as opposed to freaking Robot Chicken. Anything Tim Burton that Clay... I love Nightmare Before Christmas. All that shit is golden, is untouchable. But...
The real claymation goes to
which one?
Harry Hasenauer,
Wallace and Gromit, and okay. Fucking Wallace and Gromit, and
that's
what is
a throwback right there. Now,
that's the real
Wallace
claymation
and Gromit
right there.
With the little sheep.
Sure. What was the one you were mentioning the other day? Davy and Goliath.
who Jay?
No one remembers Davy and Goliath.
Biblical show on Cartoon Network.
Was it Jay? Yes, it was. That's the real.
I don't remember this.
Davy and Goliath and motherfucking
yeah, bro,
Gumby.
That's okay.
My man, Pokey the horse.
What the hell? I do not remember.
You don't know Gumby, sir? Oh, I'm done.
No, Gumby. Yeah,
I'm about to say.
But yeah, I mean, I get what you guys are saying, but I feel like also MODOK has become like the butt of the MCU, bro. Like, you get.
Well, he is, though.
You got the failed attempt at the Avengers game, now you get this. I mean, damn, at least put a little bit of respect. I thought you loved MODOK, bro.
I love MODOK, but I know he's the talking nutsack of the MCU. And like... He can only have enough storylines where you take him serious, and then it's just like meh. Like,
bro, this MODOK just looks fucking
exactly. There's only so many times where you get like little gimpy legs and gimpy arms, and then a beam coming out of his head.
Didn't
like,
he
okay,
glitch out
in
one of the comics,
MODOK.
And it was like mechanical right. Organism decide for fun or something like that?
Yeah. And then he gets like a, oh no, we lost the Jake. Well, I'll try to get him back over here. But yeah, definitely. Like we had MODOK even transfer his consciousness to like a handsome man as well too.
Yeah, he so always has been. Once as well. He always has kind
handsome
of been
MODOK.
A joke, pretentious character, but I don't know, man. I just can't get behind the whole claymation. Yeah, that's how I feel.
I got you. You know, since Jake will be back after these messages, we'll be right back. Maybe we could get some WandaVision talk since his absence is apparent right now. Let's watch get into it right here.
What?
Let's Let's talk about WandaVision, sir. We'll get his thoughts when he comes back on why he's not really jumped on the WandaVision bandwagon, but we gotta talk about that last episode. I know I've had my feelings about it. Me and you are on maybe different sides of the spectrum when it comes to this dark dimension. But
the last episode,
tell me your thoughts, brother.
I mean, I don't know. Like, yeah, you said it was the ultimate troll move to just like kind of, you know, expose Agatha as behind it. But I think it's the right thing to do, because we spoke about it a long time ago and you actually made the phenomenal point. You're not going to waste a character like Mephisto on a Disney Plus show. There's no way in hell that's happening. You know, we do know Agatha Harkness just did kind of play that, that lubricant? I'm trying to find a word for the whole Mephisto deal, taught her how to use some magic and stuff like that in the comic. So, I mean, I'm not mad about it. I'm not mad about it at one bit. Like, I just like let everybody know that you feel like it's the ultimate troll move, like, because I
only say that because they purposely put things in each episode to troll fans, and when I say that, you know, starting off with Mephisto, then starting off with House of M, the wine itself that was being poured translates to House of M, and then you have, you know, the Fox version of Quicksilver showing up as well too. You know, all these things purposely to lead you to believe that an X-Men is coming, or something having to do with X-Men are going to be involved in the Marvel Universe since they have the rights again. And I feel it's a huge slap in the face, even to the people who are
expecting aerospace engineer to be John Krasinski. But yeah.
But see, that it all goes together in a way, because after watching it three times, I watched this goddamn episode to see if it changed or whatnot. I accepted it. I think all the great parts are there. Monica's Rambeau's, you know, transformation, Photon, still one of the best things. A standoff between her and Wanda, one of the best things we've seen as well too. Vision and Darcy.
I agree with you. We saw some chemistry that we haven't seen before. You know, like the Vision and the Darcy, the Monica Rambeau and Wanda squaring up. I just don't understand how people will sit here and see as just because, you know, we didn't get no House of M or no anybody else. Okay, that's it. We're scrapping X-Men. X-Men is non-existent again in the MCU. No, this is a good opener. I mean, you already got Quicksilver from Fox. Quicksilver from Fox. You saw the, like you said, the wine. You seen the little caveats from the gun being pointed at. I forgot his name right now. My God.
I want to say Hartwell, but it's not, right?
We saw the guns. We saw how she flicks the little magical orbs. You see all of this. Let's not take it for negativity, because we didn't get what we wanted. To an extent, I feel people, I get you. All the Easter eggs and everything was laid out, but to an extent, I feel that people reached too far. This is a 9-episode show. We're not going to get House of M in 9 episodes. Like, it's unrealistic for people to set this up constantly. I'm going on a tangent. When I was getting on Instagram, everybody, show of hands, who wants to see this? Who wants to see this? They even put up the epic Magneto picture in the comics when he came down, when Captain was holding Wanda, give me my daughter back. We're not getting none of that. Why are you setting yourself up for that failure? Like, this is 9 episodes. That's it. No more. But it's not saying that we're not going to get it. That's my thing. Is like, yeah, we're disappointed. But bro, this is the start of the MCU verse. X-Men will come, but just at their pace.
Right. Okay. All right. So my gripe with this is that I agree with all those points. I do. Here's the thing, though. Marvel, from their storytelling, from their linear storytelling for the last 10 years, has been very specific on their directions. They're not really big on trolling. they're not like that with their fans. Their fan base is like, okay, we're going to give you our version of what we think the Avengers are. They're not going to be 100% like the comics whatsoever. They're not going to be, you know, true form whatsoever. But we're going to do our best to tell our story and give it to you. And I think a lot, I want to say 98% of the fans accept that and enjoy that. Even with things like Ultron, like they made their version of Ultron. Do I accept that? Not 100%, but I can go on board with it because that's the story they're telling. This show, it breaks that rule, and I get it. I love when shows go off the wall and they take us in different directions. That's my kind of storytelling. I love that. But at the same token, I think we as fans have been accustomed to the storytelling for the last 10 years from Marvel to not troll fans, to stay true to what they're trying to produce. Here's our linear story. If the story is that Wanda is being controlled by someone inside the Hex, here's the suspects, but it could be that person. We're having the outside interference as well, too, especially the things with Hardwell. I want to say Hardwell. I could be wrong. And the Vision and what they're doing with AIM or possibly AIM or SWORD. Then yes, I can follow that. But here's the thing. When you throw little things, like, that's not Quicksilver. Like, as much as, you know, we were like, oh, excited. Like, ooh, we got to see Quicksilver in 2 hours.
Sorry. Yeah.
It's not Quicksilver. It's not. Hayward, excuse me. It's not Quicksilver. You know, it's we're looking at things that represent things from the X-Men, but they're not going to be introduced into this show specifically. And then it's basically what I thought it was. It's someone grieving and learning how to grieve. And I feel like that's what's going to happen in the next 2 episodes. And of course, it's a healthy show. Like, I think for anybody, this is a great show for anybody to watch and be like, yeah, like, grieving sucks and everybody grieves differently. And I can enjoy that, but I feel like they purposely trolled people in different directions instead of telling the story that they want.
Okay, I understand that and I agree with you to 1,000%. Oh, that's weird. Sorry about that. Yeah, no. Oh, I just read Jake's text. But, I mean, it's always good to break the boundaries and stretch the boundaries just a tad bit. You know, you said it. We're accustomed to that. So that's why it's a slap in the face to us. As I said, my biggest pet peeve is you, but maybe I reached as well. Maybe I reached as well when you sat here and said, my aerospace engineer, you know? And then we just got a regular SWORD official. Employee, so maybe that's my fault for reaching. And I mean I don't want to sound effed up, but like you said, you make some phenomenal points. Everything was just being played around with where you can make assumptions, but maybe people reached a little bit too far. Maybe I feel like they just got into this whole multiverse of madness once we saw Quicksilver. I get it, they did it, people are gonna reach, but maybe certain people reached a little bit too far, because then they just got crazy with some of the assumptions for the aerospace engineer. They even said Ironheart's not going to play out well in this. Like, yeah,
but I also believe that's Marvel's or whoever the showrunner's fault is for that too. Like, I think you could throw subtle hints or subtle things and make people like the art of storytelling is telling the story and letting someone like interpret what you're trying to tell. Like, that's always the art of storytelling. But then when you purposely put things into play for someone to go off the rails, like, they thrive on that. Like, the marketing on this whole show has thrived on people making assumptions. It hasn't been just a storytelling. As much as we love it, we love the original episodes, like the first 3 episodes, we adore those for how different and how exuberant they are. Like, they are fantastic episodes, and people hate those episodes because they don't know what the fuck is going on. But where it strikes me is that, like, if you were to just continue with that ominous tone, because I feel like the tone shifted a little bit from this is our story to what Easter eggs are we going to put in this next? And, like,
you know,
I
what?
Think that kind of killed me a little bit.
I see that. I get you. But if you look past all the eggs, to me, it's a phenomenal job of accenting everything, like I've told you outside of the podcast, that Scarlet wishes. You know, I think it's a phenomenal way, like you said, to grieve. Everybody grieves different. You know, some people take loss different ways. This is the way of her taking it. So if somebody could relate to it. I do get that vibe, but I like what they're doing because it's showing her breaking down from everything to just the voice in every intro. It gets more melancholy, more deeper, like, oh, everything is scrambling out of control. And I enjoy it. I won't lie. I mean, I do like the Easter eggs and I want to reach, but I'm genuinely enjoying it for what it really is, all Easter eggs aside, because we're getting Disney's Plus view of Scarlet Witch, which they can't, you know, bump it up to the notch because we know she has a lot of mental health issues, terrible mother. We do see it toned down in the show, trying to put the kids to sleep, take them away. I'm going to have a, you know, healthy staycation without the kids. So I don't know, man. I'm genuinely enjoying it. Easter eggs aside.
Okay. No, Easter eggs aside, the episode itself, I enjoyed the episode for what it was. I wasn't mad about the whole Modern Family Office take on things at all. I love those kind of shows. I think a lot of people thrived on this episode. I thought that Vision was great in his little sit-down interviews. Darcy was great in her little interviews as well, too. I just felt that Wanda was a little forced at times. Like, just a tad bit. Like, I don't mind it. I thought she threw some funny-ass lines, but then I felt like this is, like, the character you're portraying, and I'm like, I can't. I was trying to buy into it, but all I kept on thinking was the mom from Modern Family. Like, that's what you're reaching for, and like, instead of putting your own twist on it, that was your goal. It's like, I'm gonna try.
I feel you on that. That's true, but it's not the first time we have actually seen Elizabeth Olsen kind of get outshined in the series. You know, as much as I love her as Scarlet Witch. We have seen her multiple times in the series get outshined. Hell, in the whole show, in the whole plot. I feel that this is a Monica Rambeau story. How she became Photon. Where are we getting? Setting up, you know, Captain Marvel 2. In the 70s. Was it the 70s? Bro, she got outshined by Vision the whole time. So I mean, that's why I'm not surprised. Oh, yeah. And that's why it really didn't nag me. But I can see you that she didn't add her own twist, as we saw Agatha have her twist. Man, Vision, Paul, he's just so phenomenal. He could just knock anything out the park. Darcy as well. That chemistry was amazing. Overall, the show, that episode overall was pretty dope because we got Photon. And to me, it just keeps, I want to see Hayward. What's his vendetta against superhumans? And the vendetta with Carol Danvers and Photon. So, I mean, it's setting up the MCU good, and that's why I say we will get X-Men people. Just slow down. The trolling, yeah, it's there. Maybe they're having fun. They're saying, hey, they waited for this. This is the reason why people signed up for Disney Plus, for shows like The What Ifs, for shows like WandaVision, Loki, Winter Soldier, and Falcon. Let's have a little fun with them. Who's to say, you know?
So let's talk about, like, bring Easter eggs back into the show for a second, especially on this episode. A lot of things happened. A lot of things are in there. One of them, of course, we could talk now, Agatha being the villain and whatnot. The theme song, fantastic. I know it's been in your head and my head for the past, like, week already.
Yes.
The Darkhold, the Necronomicon of the Marvel Universe, that's there as well, too. The Roots. The Roots in the Basement.
The Roots in the Basement, I kind of make, like, as you said as well, because I got that vibe immediately when I saw it, where the house completely changed to just like a dungeon, a almost alternate reality. This can be a fucking, oh, I apologize. This can be, because I just got so caught up talking about it. It can be just a whole freaking gate into the underworld, the underverse, whatever it is. Her house can be a portal to like the demon realm and stuff. That's why the Darkhold maybe was glowing right there, because the power is so potent. You see her when, you know, at the end credits, the roots were glowing. Obviously, she's casting magic, so I see it as that this can be just a realm to, you know, the Netherverse or something like that. What did you take of it?
Yeah, it was definitely, it gave me different vibes, like a different dimension, dark dimension, or like just a different way or portal somehow. I did notice a lot of things that like I don't like to reach anymore because I reached so much in this show, but you saw the roots. There was a lot of horn iconography as well, too. It makes you think of Mephisto, of course, when you think of any kind of horns or whatnot. But then again, knowing this show the way I know it now, I can't use that. Like, I personally, I can't look at that and be like, oh, we got horns, there's a devil, it has to be Mephisto. No. I'm leaving it alone now. But I do like the inclusion of the Darkhold. Huge ties to Doctor Strange. You know, Dormammu, so many things that are happening in the dark dimension, in different realms as well too.
A lot can spawn from it. Nightmare, like you said, Mephisto, Dormammu, a lot of they can legit conjure up a whole series, anything, a world off of this. You get what I'm saying? Like a universe, because this is kind of like, because this book has crazy history for people that know the Darkhold or haven't. I mean, I could get into it, but just Google it. So, it has a lot that this can come from. And that's why when I saw it, I was like, okay, yeah, it's him. Maybe Pietro is Nightmare. We're not, or maybe at the end, all of this is, hell. Maybe Senor Scratchy is Mephisto himself, just chilling. I know you said it could be Doctor Strange transformed, but maybe it's him just chilling, just plotting everything. So... But the Darkhold was a good, sorry for cutting you off. The Darkhold was a good, I'm trying to find the word. I can't find the word. It was a good thing, a hint in the step in the right direction. I can't say the words right now. Yeah, because I'm all fucked up right now.
Gotcha.
But yeah.
I really do feel like Senor Scratchy is Doctor Strange, but that's my own like head doing things, because when I look at the rabbit and she's saying Senior Scratchy, SS, Stephen Strange, little things like that, maybe. But then again, the white rabbit.
I was going to say that. Yeah. I can see that because Senior Scratchy looks pure. He looks good. Out of everything in the house, out of everything with Agatha,
yes,
it's the only thing that seems pure and, genuine and nice and good.
And then, of course, like flaunting him around everywhere she goes as well, too. It's like rubbing it in Wanda's face, or rubbing what she's doing in his face. But I could be totally wrong about that as well, too. It could be something different. Hell, it could just be a familiar, for all we know as well, too.
But her familiar was a cat all the time. Oh, yeah, we're getting exactly. trolled. We're getting trolled.
Marvel Comics, we're going to do different things from the MCU now. I'm very interested to see what the interaction is going to be like, knowing that she added herself to Wanda being a witch. I want to see where the conversation lies in this. I want to see if she's being an enabler or if she's being someone malevolent to Wanda. It's interesting. Yeah. Where do you see that? That's gonna be our last point in the discussion right there. Is like, where do you see Agatha to Wanda right now? You saw her kind of coddling Wanda away from Monica Rambeau before they duped it out. Is there something bigger at play, or do you maybe feel like, hey, I'm a witch here, which we stick together?
Like I said, in the comics, she did kind of help her out with some of her powers and things of that nature, so I could kind of see both. But I feel that maybe we're getting that she's the antagonist just to lead up to what everybody wants. Like I said, Mephisto, because just off of what Wiccan said, he was like, I like it here. It's quiet, as opposed to when she was in her house, when he was in his house. So he was saying that it's noisy there. Too much noise in my head, which kind of correlates to, the theory that people are saying that maybe the noise is everybody in Westview in agony and pain, and he can hear it. Meaning his mother, obviously is under some control as well. So I feel that.
Could be Vision. Vision in pain on the inside. You know, he's tapped into everybody else's mind. He hasn't tapped into his own. You know, we don't know how Vision is, if Vision has anything in the inside as well, too. Maybe you saw how much pain he was when he got outside of the Hex.
True.
Maybe
that's another thing I want to see as well. Like, why can't he leave the Hex? Maybe is it because, you know, he's just bound to this? And that's one of my big questions. One of my big questions as well. What do you make of the twins disappearing before? But what do you make? Where do you see Agatha going from here, though?
Oh, man, I don't know. They've done such a good job trying to make Wanda the villain or vilify her, but we can understand her in a way, to the point where a lot of things she has done are semi-evil in a way. Like, you see her, like, branching off the Hex. You know, you see her controlling people in a way. So it's not like... It's hard for me to say, like, she's been controlled and manipulated this whole entire time. Because even in mid-conversations with other people, she has those internal struggles. Like, am I doing things wrong? Is this wrong to do? Like, or, you know, this is the way I'm grieving or whatnot. So it's hard for me to say, like, oh, like, somebody's been mind-controlling her. And now she's good. She's an Avenger still. Like, ha, 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 ha. It was nothing. Like, you know, Maxwell Lord. I don't want that. I want there to be consequences. I want people to come out of this show and be like, Wanda's a little fucked up. Like, and maybe we cannot 100% trust her. Maybe we shouldn't. Like, I want that kind of tragedy toward the end where, yeah, like, everything maybe gets wrapped up or, you know, the Hex is gone and people get saved in a way. But the outcome to me to make this show land is that, Scarlet Witch, you know, Wanda is not a pure villain, but she's kind of messed up. And if something doesn't take hold or someone doesn't intervene,
okay,
like,
I get it,
can't create chaos for everyone.
I don't know, bro. Like, we do know they've trolled, so there's many ways that this can go. It's just, I'm thinking, the kids,
Ooh. The kids, my bad. I didn't
know. Back into the dark hold.
I think, I always say maybe not. I still think they're in the basement when Monica opened up the basement, possibly. I'm gonna say that because I'm a big fan of always saying that, unless you see someone die or vanish, they're not really dead in shows or movies. So the kids are still around, but I ultimately think that they're gonna be blipped or something, like evaporate, go into a dark hole, be sent back down, or just maybe they are a figment of Wanda's imagination and she takes that deep breath to let things go and they vanish, which would still be heartbreaking.
But so, I mean, there's not much to make out of it.
Smoking
but,
a doobie.
You know, like, I'm just trying to reach. When she told her, nice to finally meet you and stuff like that. Do you think maybe that Agatha at one point was under control, or just, you know, just her being her true self now in front of Wanda?
Maybe her true self in front of Wanda. If we are under the impression that she's been manipulating certain things in Westview this whole entire time, ever since episode one, then I don't think that she's been under any kind of control, especially unless they're trolling people with that, which
would have to
piss somebody off. Then that's the case. You make a whole theme song.
Little hints, subtle hints. You can kind of like, this will be my last piece. Little subtle hints kind of also just kind of prove that maybe it was Agatha all along, because I remember episode when they did like the Fuller House and stuff like that, and the step by step. Remember where Vision started catching on, and he was like, "Oh, and here's Agatha at the precise moment with the right item that we need." So little clues and things like that, you know. And when they asked her, "How did you know the twins were crying?" Yeah. "Oh, I heard them walking down the street." So she would pop up at key moments from episode one, you know, where she was just like about to knock on the door, just came out. So like that, I mean, I get it is a troll move, but you know, it was right in front of our faces.
Yeah, which I'm okay with. Like, knowing that this was right in front of my face, and had I not had little things in my way, I would have been perfectly fine being like, yeah, it's Agatha, and I'm okay with that. But I'm still in love with the show. I think this is one of Marvel's greatest pieces of work that they have ever made. This, like, if this was a movie, in my opinion, this would go right next to Winter Soldier, because I think Winter Soldier is, for me, Guardians, it's Guardians 1, Winter Soldier. Winter Soldier.
Oh shit! I never knew you really enjoyed Winter Soldier like that.
Oh yeah, I think Winter Soldier is, you know, a movie that's not even a comic book movie.
I would have to revisit Cap, society. Winter Soldier. I have to revisit all those, because remember, I don't remember much. I told you, yo, when the hell did Crossbones come out? Like, so that's just, I haven't seen them in that long. But just to add a caveat to what you said, sorry for cutting you off, I think genuinely, out of everything that we've seen in the MCU, WandaVision and shows that we're possibly going to get, like Loki and the What Ifs, I think this is just the most beautiful storytelling that we've seen, and different, diverse, that we've seen in MCU. So that's why I feel some people are still kind of on the edge of watching WandaVision, kind of like, let's say, Jake, which, you know, he just forgot all about us. Like, no, I'm playing. He's having technical difficulties. Yeah,
he's having technical issues from Jake, unfortunately.
Bro, it's brilliant. This is the reason why I got Disney Plus. So that's why I'm head over heels for this. And I'm just enjoying it, bro. Last one. So sorry.
Yeah, man. Well,
last one. Do you think?
Go for it.
They're already throwing, you know, rumors and questions to the director. Do you think WandaVision deserves a second season, or will we see a second season? Agreed.
I don't think we need a second season. Well, it all depends on how they end this off, but it doesn't. I mean, I think the type of storytelling that you're doing, you can do with many characters in the Marvel universe, all like so many characters. So a Doctor Strange would have been fantastic with him, and Clea would have been fantastic with this. But for these two specifically, as much as we love them, I think this is not necessarily a swan song, but that relationship and what we got to experience with these characters, what we got to experience with Vision and Wanda, which we were missing from all these movies, we got to see it unfold before our eyes. And I think that can't be recreated. And it will never be recreated with any kind of couple right now, because of the history that these characters have in the comics, brought to you on the silver screen and now on Disney Plus. It's that mix. It's that beautiful margarita that's being made, and it tastes so damn delicious when it goes down that you're never gonna find that drink again. That's how great this show is. If you were to do a second season, it would ruin it. It's kind of like Deadpool 2 for me. Like, I got the joke the first time. I didn't need to get the joke the second time. Like, I enjoy it, but it doesn't hit as hard as the first one. I don't think Winter Soldier would be like this. I don't think Loki would be like this. I don't think any show that they'll do from here to the next couple of shows will be like this whatsoever. I think this was an experiment, but it was an ultra successful experiment by two characters where, let's be real honest, no one probably would have thought that they would have garnered the attention and the love that they're getting right now, because it's a robot. Which, but yeah, here we are.
Yeah, I agree with you. I just like it because it's kind of this is just a view into everything that went down with them in the Avengers. Because remember, in Infinity War, you saw them in the hotel by themselves and kind of confessing their love and their feelings for each other in the street before Vision got attacked. So I like that, because this just shines into all that we missed out. Definitely is a tie-up and a write-off to Vision, bro. So, yeah.
Well, that's going to wrap us up for this right here. We'll sign off for Jake as well, too. You know, Jake, you can find him. He's trying to rebrand his Anxiety and I, but I know that's on Anchor and Spotify. So if you want to hear his earlier episodes, you could probably listen to those there. If you wanted to reach me specifically, Lucha Val Cisco on Twitter, you can find me on Instagram at Val Cisco _. And of course, Pop Culture Fanatics, you know, it's on Twitter at PCF Podcast. It's on Instagram at PCF Podcast. And of course, it's on Facebook at Pop Culture Fanatics as a group, where we have fanatical conversations for you guys out there as well, too. I'm going to throw some other plugs our way as well, too, for the wrestling. If you like the Hangman Pages of the world, if you need to hear about the Sunny Kisses of the world, hell, if you want to hear our latest podcast about the Elimination Chamber, please head on over to Elite Wrestling Audio, a podcast where me and Jay Rances go to town in the world of professional wrestling, pay-per-views, weekly conversations, and barber talks galore. That's on EWA Podcast on Twitter, EWA Podcast on Instagram, and Elite Wrestling Audio on the Facebook. That's on everywhere from Spotify to Anchor to Pandora. You name it, we're on it. Sir, go ahead with
this
your
little
plugs.
Caveat. I read talking about the wrestling. Bro, we got to do a little bit more table talk episodes. I apologize. I'm just like super talkative today. I wanted to tag you in the post.
It was good.
You know, last night we saw Nyla Rose eliminate Britt Baker from, you know, the women's tournament that they're having in AEW. Just in case you're tuning in, if you're a wrestling fan, this dude went in on a tangent talking about, I am baffled as to why Nyla Rose legit eliminated Britt Baker, blah, blah, blah. Then he was trying to make an argument in the case, but we'll talk about that off this. But my plugs, yeah. If you guys want to hit me up, y'all can hit me up on my Twitter and my Instagram with they're both the same handle, SunEater1A. That's the number one, the number, not O-N-E, the number and the letter A all together, SunEater1A. Instagram and Twitter, find me there. I'm going to do a quick plug for MMA if you guys love rap. Yeah, I apologize. I'm just like yes. Out of whack right now. I genuinely do want to apologize.
I love this.
I'm so sorry right now. I'm just like between the Jake, and then you know, like so. Yeah, I'm off. More chronicles. If you guys love MMA, you can check Val and myself out there on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. That podcast is everywhere on Spotify, Apple, Google Podcasts, iHeart, Pandora, wherever you get your podcast. Definitely check up the Kimura Chronicles. And it's, yeah, we do MMA talk, reviews, everything out there, and all that good stuff in the MMA world. Take it.
Listen, I'm not about the cancel culture, but y'all people need to get your shit straight with Nyla Rose already. Let the woman go to town and be a professional wrestler. She ain't shitting your cereal, okay? If you don't like it, don't watch it, okay? At the end of the day, just because you don't agree on something doesn't mean you need to go out there on social media and make your opinions known. I hate this because that and because this needs to happen. Stop it. You're just a fucking entitled person clicking on some keyboards or your freaking mouse or your phone trying to feel opinionated. No, sir. No.
Good
day, sir, to you.
Yeah, and then I was like reading some of the examples. Bro, legit Thunder Rosa. Thunder Rosa is still on the NWA contract, people. So why are you shouting out Thunder Rosa? Like, legit, the person that can carry the women's division right now is Nyla Rose. And it's crazy that probably the woman that has put on some of the best matches in AEW that I enjoy, you know, she just happens to be a transgender woman. Oh, well, get over it. What the flip, you know? So she's ready. Yep. They should have never taken the strap off. But that's a tangent.
I love my wrestling when the men were hairy and they had hairy legs, no knee pads, and Jack Briscoe was putting Peruvian neckties on another man and his balls were in his face and he snipped them. He snipped them good. He tapped out. He tapped out to the stage.
Look like Stan Hansen and he looking like, you know, Barry Windham.
I love you so very much.
I'm done. No, we're bro, I apologize. We're sorry, guys. We just went on the tangent. We're sorry.
We're sorry. We're sorry. Anyway, guys, we appreciate all the love right here. So if you guys did power through this episode from start to finish, you guys are the real MVP.
You said you
sorry
like
for
me,
yeah, to
why.
Leave early. Issues, but I almost fell off my chair with that one.
But from him, from us, later, we all say thank you so much for listening. Take care, everybody.